Well, as Steve mentioned, the series we've been doing is called The Race. And this is our last Sunday. We're talking about the race. But I was thinking about the words of Socrates. He warned of the danger of the unexamined life. I think sometimes we go through things and we don't stop and reflect upon them very much. And if we don't reflect upon what we've done, it can kind of be in one ear and out the other. And the Apostle James tells us that there's a real danger to be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And so I thought it'd be worthwhile just to remind us of where we've been in this 7 weeks that will be in our eighth week today, just to remind you of what this race is all about. Steve started it off by talking about running towards Christ. That was the first sermon, and then we did a small group series on that. And the purpose of that was to introduce the fact that our race as Christians is to grow in our relationship with Christ. And like any race, we need to realize that this race is not something, I guess some races can be pretty short, but the race we've been talking about is more of a marathon. It requires diligence. It requires discipline. It requires effort. And so as we've thought about this race, we realize that to follow Christ, there is discipline involved. And that can be a challenge. So from there, the next thing we talked about was running by grace. And because it involves discipline and effort and diligence, it's easy to think about our relationship with Christ in terms of do's and don'ts and have-tos and musts. But that's not how the Christian life works. It is a life that is motivated by grace, that as Christ comes into our lives, he enables us to live this life, and he gives us the power and the ability to do that. And so as we reflected on what the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, we realize that it is God working in us that enables us to run this race. We talked about running to win. This image that we've been using of a race is an image that gets used in a few different ways, and it's used in an interesting way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 because the Apostle Paul applies it to someone who is committed to winning people to Jesus. And he is very clear that he approaches telling others about Jesus the way an Olympic athlete approaches the Olympic Games. And he does whatever he can. In fact, you could say he does anything short of sin to make sure people can hear the good news of Jesus. And that was this running to win. So when you think about this race, there's all kinds of different aspects of it, but it involves intentionality, determination, focus. And we talked about what do you do when the race gets hard. That was the week we looked in Isaiah. And remember, when we talk about running a race and following God and following Christ, there's a way in which we expect God to work. And sometimes if we don't realize that God works in different ways, we may miss what he's doing altogether. If you were here that week, you may remember that we said sometimes God intervenes and he just steps in and he works almost miraculously or even miraculously as happens in the course of history. Miracles are unusual. They're not normal, but they happen. And Isaiah says sometimes we mount up with wings like eagles and God just delivers us. But sometimes we interact with God. We do something and God does something and we run and are not weary. And sometimes God gives us inner strength and he intervenes, I guess. And so understanding that in this race, God works in different ways and to see what he does. We talked about that. Then Steve talked about in this race, as you're living your Christian life, as you're trying to follow God, there are going to come those situations in your life where you face temptations, challenges. And how do you deal with the temptations that come along? And what do you do when you face temptations? And Steve talked about that. And If we're going to be all that God wants us to be, we need to have a plan for when we face those opportunities that can derail us. And then when we do fall, how do we respond? You remember Steve gave us kind of a case study of David and Peter, and how David was really kind of in denial of his sin when he failed. And Peter was kind of living in his sin, and he was overcome by his sin to some way, defined him to some way. And so when we face sins in our life, do we deny it? Do we dismiss it, I guess, really is what I think how Steve put it? Or do we let it overcome us? And how do we handle that? And there is a way through that where we realize that we have forgiveness from Jesus Christ. And we can face up to our sins and give it to God. And then last week, Steve talked about running in front of an audience. You remember if you were here, we talked about the people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And he focused primarily on Moses and Abraham. But as you look at those people, you realize that there is in those people of faith an encouragement to be all that God wants us to be. In fact, in our small group, as we talked about it, I found myself very encouraged as I reflected upon these people of faith, because they were defined not by what was going on in their lives. They were defined by where their lives were headed. And when you think about the race that we're in, we can get so bogged down in the circumstances of our lives and the problems in our lives, but this marathon really is defined more by where we're going than where we are. And if you remember in Hebrews 11, it talks about these people had a focus on a city that was made by God, not this earthly realm. Well, I mention all that to you because as you think about it, I hope you will reflect upon the things we've talked about. I hope that there are some things rummaging around in your head, as there have been in mine, as to how can we live more intentionally? How can we be more focused and diligent? Because there's a way in which if we forget that this is a marathon, we can be rather lackadaisical about our Christian life. Well, having said that, one thing that is apparent to me of anyone I've ever known who's been involved in a marathon, and that is that marathons are hard. I know that because probably the farthest I've ever run is about 15 miles, and that was about 15 miles more than I really thought I could run. And those of you who've been in marathons, you know that you don't just wake up one day if you're out of shape and say, you know, I think I'm going to run a marathon today. It takes determination and training. And so these marathons can be devastating as well as exhilarating. And when you think about the Christian life, that's a good understanding. The Christian life is not always easy. To be all that God wants us to be, it requires that we be focused and dedicated and determined. I think too often we kind of see the Christian life as just something we do when we feel like it. But this picture of the Christian life as a marathon says, no, it requires more of us. To be all that God wants us to be, we need to recognize that the marathon can be hard. So having said that, I would like us to look at a passage of Scripture. If you find yourself in the middle of your marathon, and you feel kind of like that person laying on the track today because you have found that your life is tough, then I have some good news for you. Because sometime in every one of our lives, we're going to be like that person just laid out on the track. whether it's financial difficulties, relational problems, emotional challenges, whatever it may be, there will be those times when we just feel like we can't go on. So what do you do when you feel that way? Maybe you're in that place right now, and there's good news in Scripture to challenge us and encourage us as we live our lives and we run this Christian life, this marathon. And I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. So let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you've called us as your children to be in this marathon. And I want to pray particularly for those who are here today who are feeling the hardness of it, the challenge of living a life that matters for you. Father, I pray you'd help me to be clear from what your word has to say to us. And I pray that we might leave this place today encouraged by what you say to us and how you challenge us. Father, you want so much from us, but it's what we've been made for. And we give ourselves to you. That's when we discover how good and how acceptable and how perfect your will is for us. And so, Lord, I pray that today as we spend a few moments reflecting on this portion of Scripture in Hebrews, that we might find the encouragement to go on to great things in our life for you. And so we commit these moments ahead to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We actually, Steve started out with this passage last week, but what he really focused on was the prelude to this passage. And so I want to spend a few minutes looking at these verses as they apply to us in running this marathon. It's Hebrews chapter 12, just three verses. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you do not grow weary and lose heart." So what hope, what encouragement is there for us as we're running this race? Well, there's four different phrases where it says, "let us, let us, let us, let us." And those phrases kind of guide us through what are the encouragements that we have as we look at this passage. The first thing that he tells us is if we live in the light of what Steve talked about last week, these people of faith who've gone before us, he says, "Therefore, in light of these people, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." And I put these two together, actually, and let us, the second, let us run with perseverance. Or I guess that's the third lesson. We'll just stick with this one. Let us get rid of those hindrances. This word that he uses to strip down is a word that can be used of, and was used at times, of an athlete who would lose weight in training to be in the tip-top shape. But is also used because the Greek athletes, they competed in the nude. And so it's literally getting rid of any of those things that would weigh you down and keep you from performing at your best. You can imagine, we don't compete in the nude in our Olympics, but you can imagine the disadvantage somebody running a mile would have if they had a 50-pound backpack on their back. It doesn't make sense to do that. So if you are running a race for God, then you need to get rid of all those things that will hinder you from being all that God wants you to be. Now, he talks about, let us set aside those things that weigh us down, and then let us lay aside those sins. So he talks about two different things that we need to get rid of. One is just those things that can trip us up. What are some of the things that can leave us struggling in the race that are not sinful? Because the very fact that he says, let us throw off everything that hinders us, that's one of the things we need to get rid of, and get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. So there are some things that slow us down in this race that are not moral matters. What are some of those things? You may want to talk about those in your small groups, but let me just give you some things I've thought about. I think if we're not focused on where we're going and how we're going to get there, that we can get distracted by much lesser things. I know for me, there's a danger of just not making good use of my time. Now, there is a place for leisure and for rest, and God created us to be people who can rest. But I think it's very easy to say, well, I should have a little leisure time. And a little leisure time becomes a lot of leisure time. And a little time in front of the television set becomes a lot of time in front of the television set. Or surfing the web, or whatever it is that we can do that is not a bad thing. Not an immoral thing in and of itself, but when we're running this race for God, it's worth saying, how can I be most effective? What are the things in my life that may keep me from being at my best? Think about it as an athlete. If an athlete preparing for the Olympic Games wants to be all that he or she can be, it's going to require time. Early mornings at the pool, or afternoons at the track, or whatever. And so it means that some things have to be sacrificed in their lives for that. And that's true in our Christian life, that there are things that are good things, but they have to be put aside for better things. And I'm not here to tell you what those are, but my point is, as we endeavor to run this marathon, if you want to be all that God wants you to be, you need to take a close look at your life and say, am I really focused on what God wants me to focus on? Are there some things that I need to change? We can be focused even on a good thing like our family. Families are gifts from God, and we need to invest ourselves in our families. But sometimes even a family outing can be a distraction from something else you may know God wants you to do. It's not something that I, as your pastor, can determine for you. It's something that you and I need to decide before God. What does he want us to do? What are the things that keep us from doing that? We need to strip those off, get those out of our schedule, set ourselves focused on what God wants us to do. So there may be good things that we need to set aside for better things. But then he says, there are also sins in our lives that we need to get rid of. And if there's any sin in your life that you know of that keeps you from being all that God wants you to be, then you need to figure out how to deal with that. I can tell you in my own life that one of the ways when I get bogged down in something that I know I shouldn't be doing, one of the best things I can do is to have somebody who I trust, who I can confess my sin to. I don't do that with very many people. I don't think it's wise to do it with very many people. But James tells us to confess our sins to one another and to pray for each other so we may be healed. And if you're serious in your Christian life, there ought to be somebody in your life that you can say, you know, I am really struggling with this today, and I just need you to pray for me, and I need you to hold me accountable. And that's the other thing that I would encourage from my experience. Be willing not only to open up, but then say, I need to tell you how I'm doing with this. Because if I'm really serious about running for God, I don't want to be running with that 50-pound backpack on my back. I need to have a schedule that's focused on God. I need to have time that's given to Him. I need to have my life free from the things that weigh me down. And I guarantee you, you'll have to revisit this. We're sinful people. We struggle. But if we take this race seriously, we will make sure that we are stripped down and ready to be the best we can be for God. So as we're running this race, we can be motivated to let go of those things. In fact, you know, this all comes out of what we looked at last week, what Steve talked about, those people who gave themselves to God. And some of them, as we read in chapter 11, they made tremendous sacrifices for God. Why? Because they were focused on a city whose maker was God. They were focused on God's kingdom. And in doing that, they said, okay, then I have to make these changes in my life. So let us get rid of those things that hinder us and get rid of the sins that trip us up. Then we need to run with perseverance. He says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This race requires perseverance. It requires that we don't just give it kind of a, I'll try it for today. I'll be involved in a Sunday school class for the fall. I'll go to a small group for 8 weeks. If you're following Jesus Christ and you're part of this, it's a lifelong marathon. And it requires diligence and perseverance. It requires that you don't allow those momentary setbacks, those struggles in your life, to derail you. You get up, as Steve had talked to us about, when you face temptation, and when you fall in temptation, you get forgiveness and you step up and you keep going. It's a marathon, and you won't get there immediately. But when you recognize that, you put in the agony. In fact, the idea of a race, it comes from a word that we use as agony. And sometimes the Christian life can be that hard. But don't let that derail you, because that's only temporary. We're looking ahead to the finish line. So run with perseverance. But the primary focus is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. He says several things about this. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Jesus is our ultimate example. If you want to know how to live the Christian life, Jesus is the best example. He did it perfectly. We won't do it perfectly, but if you want to know how to do it perfectly, there's the example. If you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll discover that probably the key theme in this book is fix your eyes, look at, consider Jesus. Reading through the book is an encouragement, because Jesus is more than just an example. He is our power source. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our high priest, that he has gone into the Holy of Holies before God and So we have a right, no matter what we've done in our lives, how much we've screwed up, we can come to God and to His presence and find forgiveness and have access to God in prayer. It's a wonderful thing to realize that Jesus has done that. And Jesus is, He says, the author and perfecter of faith. It doesn't, at least the original language doesn't say of our faith, just the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus did everything that was necessary so that we can have faith. And when we embrace Him in faith, He is the one who perfects our faith. So whatever you struggle with in your Christian life, as you're running this race and you're trying to be all that God wants you to be, realize that not only is Jesus your example, He's your enabler. He will give you access to God. He gives you strength. He gives you power. And this book, again and again, tells us how far superior Jesus is to any spiritual leader, any angel, any priest. And He's there as our asset in running this race. So, stay focused on Him. And when you find yourself facing opposition, when you find yourself facing hardship, realize that Jesus went through that. In fact, the very picture of the cross is a picture of overcoming opposition and overcoming hardship, because that's what Jesus did. He said, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, and He despised the shame. To be nailed to a cross was the worst punishment imaginable, not only because of the pain, but it was something that was reserved for the most hardened criminals. It was something that the Roman citizens didn't have to go through because it was seen as beneath them. And yet, Jesus endured a cross. Why did He do that? The writer of Hebrews said, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Just as the people in Hebrews chapter 11 endured hardship and difficulty because they were looking ahead to the end of their race, to this kingdom that in the city that was of God, we too can get through the hardships by looking ahead. Jesus was willing to do what He did because He knew that His sacrifice would bring many sons to glory, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 10. The obstacle was there, but He looked beyond it to what He was trying to accomplish. And we need to recognize that when we see things from God's perspective, we don't just deal with the difficulty, but we handle the difficulty realizing what lies ahead. Some of you are familiar, probably most of you perhaps have heard of the story by O. Henry that tells of this woman, Della, who the day before Christmas just had $1.87 to buy a present for her husband. And this is during the Depression, but even then, $1.87 wouldn't buy him very much. And she was very much upset that she had so little before Christmas, and she so wanted to buy her husband something meaningful. And in their relationship, the two things that seemed to be very special to them were, for her husband, Jimmy, was a watch that he had. And for Della, it was her hair. And as O. Henry tells the story, and you may remember it, Della tried to figure out how she could come up with some money to buy her husband something worthwhile at Christmas. And finally, she realized the only thing she could do to come up with the money would be to go to a wig maker and to sell her hair. And so she cut off her hair to buy her husband a chain for his watch. Well, when her husband came home that afternoon, it had been a tough time. And he walked in kind of beaten up by the world, and he looked up and he saw his wife with her hair cut, and he was in shock. And she didn't know what to make of it. She thought, was he angry with me for cutting my hair? And she just threw herself in his arms and said, "It'll grow back. I promise you, it will grow back." And he kind of regained his composure, and he said, No, I have a Christmas gift for you, and if you see it, you'll understand my shock." And so she opened up his gift, and it was combs for her hair. And she said, "Well, it's okay, because I bought you, with the money that I got for my hair, I bought you a chain for your watch." And he just started laughing, because he said, "I sold my watch to buy you the combs for your hair." What is it that motivates people to give up something that's precious to them? It's something that's far more precious. And Jesus was willing to lay down his life and to suffer for us because he realized that that was the only way he could bring us to glory. For the joy set before him, the joy of our being part of his family, the joy of bringing men and women to a relationship with God, he laid down his life. And that's what he challenges us to do, that as we realize what really matters as we run this race, we let go of those things that are secondary, to live in this marathon, we need to understand what's most important. And Jesus is our example. Jesus is our motivation. He is our enabler. He is sufficient to give us the power to be what he's called us to be. And so if we really know that and we really believe that, then this section ends up by saying, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." What he's challenged us to do is to fix our eyes on Jesus in verse 2. And then in verse 3, he says, "Consider him." The Christian life is really not a list of moral commands. The Christian life is Jesus Christ. If we live to serve him, to please him, if we live by the power of his Spirit at work within us, then Paul says to the Ephesians, there is no law. We will, by our very nature, if we are considering him and fixing our eyes on him, we will do what he wants us to do. So, if you are in this race and you are perhaps struggling today, I want you to realize that you can look back to those people of the past that we saw last week and be motivated by these people who made tremendous sacrifices because they were living they're running their race with the end in mind. But even better than that is to run the race with our focus on Jesus. And to realize he's our example. He is our power source. He is all that we need to be, all that God wants us to be. So as we stay focused on him, we can run this marathon and finish well, and not grow tired and weary. My challenge to each of us in this day and age, especially as we read the news headlines and we see the challenges of our society, our world needs people who know where they're going, who are committed to following Christ and to give themselves to him and to help them see him in us. And if we do that, our race will be worthwhile indeed. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this series that you have given to us, to be reminded that we need to be intentional about our Christian lives. But Lord, it's not a to-do list. It's not a sense of obligation. It's a relationship with our Lord, with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we might be focused on Him, that we might live in a way that follows His example and relies upon His strength. May you give us purpose and meaning as we endeavor to be the people you've called us to be. Thank you for this reminder from your word. In Jesus' name.